Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Pipe Dummies.
Pipe Dummies.
Can you believe that we haven't done this show in like 3 months?
Absolutely.
I can totally do that. I totally could see that.
So it kind of feels like our first episode all over again. Like, you're gonna have to remind me how to pack a bowl and like how do I light it. And
I know. And this was actually becoming one of my favorite shows too.
Well, the last two or three that you did was without me. Maybe that's why.
Rob, listen. Without you, like, listen. My day is like, what did Mini Me say or Dr. Evil say? You complete me. That's you to me in our shows.
That was the
it's like deaf, just the two of us.
It was the deaf guy in Jerry Maguire. That's where that came from. He says that he does like sign language in the elevator. I don't know how to do sign language, but
I don't either. They're actually teaching it at Callaway at a daycare. It's kind of crazy. Like, she can actually do the sign for like the eat and then like the drink. Yeah. So they actually have to like,
that's pretty cool,
send it home with us so we know. So some of them are pretty obvious, right? But like, there's some where we haven't really gotten to yet and she hasn't gotten to yet where I'm kind of like, So, but it's very interesting. It's funny that they actually can pick up sign before they pick up speaking. It's kind of interesting. Not that you care about it.
That is interesting. I don't know if our audience cares.
I don't know if anybody's watching this train wreck.
There's people watching. There's people listening too. Hey guys, Robbie Raz here with you from Cigar Federation, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in to Pipe Dummies here with us. Logan and I have just been chit-chatting to get the show started here, but we're gonna. I don't know.
We might smoke a pipe. I don't know.
We're just gonna vamp. See what happens. Talk.
Yeah,
it's been a while since we've done a show. The last show that you guys did with the guy from Reddit, and that guy knew his stuff, man.
Dude, that guy, listen, that Josh dude, not only is he a upcoming budding lawyer, he knows his pipes very well. And it's interesting because I thought if you knew pipes, this is my opinion, of course, but when people say, oh yeah, that guy knows a lot about, you know, pipes and pipe smoking, I thought that was like the tobacco side. But where Josh's knowledge really lies is in actual the pipes themselves. And I didn't even really think about it, because if you think about it, like when you talk about cigars and tobacco, that's what it is. Like, there's not a whole other genre of stuff like with cigars. Like, you don't collect humidors. You don't collect lighters. But people collect pipes just as much as they collect pipe tobacco. And his knowledge about pipes was pretty infinite. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been looking at estate pipes or, you know, whatever, and have reached out to him and said, hey, you know, is this a good deal, or, you know, is this worth it? And dude, he does his research. He knows what he's talking about.
So I've purchased an estate pipe before. I just purchased it from pipesandcigars.com. They have an estate pipe section. And it was a Peterson 2014 St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's
Day. I love those, man. Those are nice.
The 2015 St. Patrick's Days are sweet. But I got it for $50 and it had never been smoked. It was basically like somebody bought it and then sold it to him as an estate pipe, but it had never been smoked. Have you bought an estate pipe that was smoked where you kind of had to go through the whole process?
I have. It's not fun.
What is that process all about? I mean, you kind of go in there, you have to ream the whole thing out and salt and all this noise. Like, talk to me about that.
So I wish you would have told me that's what we're going to talk about, because I could have got you out with all my tools and stuff, but just 1 second here. So, I mean,
we play it fast and loose, as John likes to say. I didn't realize we were going to talk about it either, but.
Well, it just kind of worked, you know, it flows. So, you know, I got one of these Reamer kits from, I think it was Pipes and Cigars or whatever. It was like $20-$25 or whatever it was. And it comes with a little handle and different bits for different size bowls.
I've got the exact same thing.
Yeah, I think everyone that smokes pipes has one of these freaking tampers, the Czech tool tamper, and they have one of these little pipe reamer kits.
Have I showed you my tamper?
No, you probably got something awesome. Like, is that a Suge one?
No, this is actually my great uncle's.
You told me that. I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, so that was why I actually went online and found a site that breaks down how to refurbish a pipe. And I went and I bought the wax and I bought the buffing wheel and
You bought the wheel?
I bought the buffing wheel, yeah.
No crap.
Which I know you can just, for me, I don't have like a, I don't have a, whatever, a Dremel set or whatever the hell it's called.
Like a, like
but I've just got a drill. You can just put it in as a drill bit and use it that way. And I got the reamer and all that stuff, but I haven't done it yet because I've got, I don't know, 6 or 7 pipes that were my great uncle's that I need to get.
Some of them are pretty nice and are pretty old, aren't they?
They were all from
like 50s.
Yeah, about that. My dad made the pipe. There's like a little pipe stand that's got, you can hold, it holds 6 pipes and then the thing opens in the middle to hold the tobacco. So this is a wooden thing. I think my dad made it when he was in like junior high.
When he was smoking a pipe?
No, it wasn't. High? No, he made it for his uncle.
I'm just kidding.
Think my dad ever smoked a pipe.
Really? My grandpa did.
He smoked cigarettes and he's paying the price for it, but I don't think he ever smoked a pipe. But that had to be in the early 50s. So they're old. I don't think they're worth anything. They don't have brand names on them or anything.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead. Talk us through the process. Cause you've done.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get all crazy with getting the carnauba wax and all that kind of shit, because all the estate pipes that I've got have either been from Doc or I've bought from You Soy Milk, or Soy Milk is good. And
who's
he kind
Doc?
Of like Doc, like from Cigar Federation, like Doc Goodwill.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he's given me, which this one is pretty sweet. I haven't smoked it yet. I really need to smoke it.
I did get 2 pretty sweet pipes from Marcus.
Oh, it's not this one. Hold on. Let me get it here. This one I actually thought was worth a lot of money, but it ended up not being. But this is a Sassini or whatever. And I thought this thing could have been worth like $400 or $500. But it was like a later model. But that's Canadian that he sent me. Already smoked. And then this is the one that I actually traded him for, because I just really like that pipe.
Mm-hmm. The stem is really cool on that.
It is really cool. But I didn't get all into buffing it out. And like, especially on this one, you can see that there's kind of a gloss on it. I think you can take that off somehow. But really, it was just more or less what I read. And I didn't do every single method, but a lot of it was just me, you know, reaming this fucker out, you know, just turning her around, you know, just giving her a good swab. And, you know awesome. What I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? All until right. I was getting down to the briar. So, okay. You know, and the other thing I did is I was reading, like, you know, how do you pull? It's not just about, you know, getting around the edge of the walls. It's also about pulling out a lot of the impurities and shit. So there's a couple ways you can do it. Like Jill Peace in the Pipe Man's Handbook was talking about putting like activated charcoal in it and then putting your pipe in the oven. And I was like, that just sounds like a recipe for freaking disaster in my house. So the other method was you get like non-ionized salt. So like, you know, like sea salt or something like that. And you fill the bowl full. And then you take like a dropper, and I got Everclear, like the highest proof clear grain liquor you can get. And you wet the salt. So it's kind of like almost, you know, with cigars, when you do like you calibrate a hygrometer, you put just enough where you make the salt damp, but not soaking wet. It's very similar to that. And you let it soak the bowl, and I let it set overnight. And dude, it pulled out.
It just leaches everything out.
Leaches everything out. And then you grind it down. So, I mean, it's still quite a process. I mean, I have not, and I think Doc, I mean, not to talk crap about Doc here, but I think he was smoking some aromatics out of a couple of these.
Hey, and I'm smoking an aromatic right now.
I mean, hey, there ain't no, you know, there ain't no. Oh, yeah, Matt. Sorry, buddy. By the way, just as a side note.
We can do that at the station.
Okay, well, anyways, we got to remember because Matt will yell at me. But, you know, with the state pipes, like if they're a state and they've not been smoked, it's kind of okay.
It's just a new pipe.
It's just a new pipe. And a lot of times that just means it's a pipe that didn't sell. You know what I mean? It's like a pipe that didn't sell, and they're basically selling it for cost.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, there's no issue with that. But you, like the one I got from Doc, like I don't know if what I'm doing is wrong or right. I don't know. But like, I mean, you can still get, I mean, I don't know what he smoked out of this, but it's definitely like aromatic. But even after doing it and reaming it and all this crap, you can still, it's still got some funk to it.
Some ghosting.
It's still got some ghosting, and like, and it's weird because I'm kind of like, I'm torn because, you know, they say the more you smoke your pipe, the better it gets. It dries out the briar. It gets better. It gets, you know, your crust in it and your cake, and it smokes better and all this crap. But it's kind of like, you know, like a dirty hooker or something, you know, it's like, you're just kind of, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like somebody else had that. And like, you don't know, like, it's like when you smoke it, you're like, I don't know what you smoked up in there. It's kind of like, I don't know where you've been. You know what I mean?
And, you know, it's funny though. I've actually thought,
but you know what I'm saying?
And it's, and for some of them, the way that I've thought about it is I've seen some estate pipes that like, I really like the bowl on it, but then I would buy a new stem and I would put my own stem in there. That way, at least I'm not chomping on the same thing you were chomping on. As far as the bowl, I feel like you can get in there and you can clean most of that stuff out. And like
I'm just doing it wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. I would think though, and this is just spitballing because I really have no knowledge on
this. I'm just shooting from the hip
here. I'm shooting from the hip. Exactly. I mean, you could be getting a lot of that flavor from the stem because you've done a lot of work on the bowl, not on the stem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, I don't know, but because I just haven't been able to get it where, you know, a fresh pipe like this one, the Savinelli, it's only the second time I've smoked it. And like an experience that I have with this versus, you know, an estate pipe, I don't know. It seems like a much better experience that I'm having. I'm not totally sold. The only way I would really, I think, buy an estate pipe going forward, if it was like I went to like, and by the way, I've been on, you know, our pipe tobacco quite a bit. You know, I actually started my first pass over there. And they don't do passes. It's freaking weird. Cigar people do passes all the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole big thing in cigars. Pipe people don't do passes. So, like, when I said, hey, man, I'll sponsor a pass. We'll get this thing going. And they're like, yeah, you know, the last one we did, you know, some people said the guy stole it. Other guys were saying that, you know, it got delivered to a member's address and he had moved and like couldn't get, sorry, I know I'm all up, you're up seeing in my armpit and stuff.
Sorry, but I'm not looking.
I know you shouldn't. But you know, he had moved and it got lost to the monster called US, you know, United States Postal Service and all this. But either way, like nobody did. Everyone's like cautioning me against it. And I was like, you know, it's pretty, you know, pretty straightforward. You know, it's not like rocket science. Like, you know, you have verified members, right? Okay, well, those are people that can be trusted. And then everyone else who's not verified goes at the very end. And once you're done with the verified members, you send it back to me. And then basically anyone who's not verified, when it's their turn, you say, I want this. You ship me what the takes or your puts are. Then I ship you. So it's a little more shipping on my end. But there's no risk. Like, if they don't ship it to me, then I just skip them. Do you know what I mean? Like, so fair they enough. Hadn't done it, which I thought was really strange. But I've gotten more involved over there. But a guy I saw, and I need to get into this because I think there's some big money to be made. But in the last probably 3 or 4 months, this dude, you know, apparently he goes to like pawn shops, garage sales, and all this crap. And he has people that are on the lookout for him. In the last 3 months, he has gotten I'm going to probably quote these numbers wrong, so I apologize. But a 1965, a 1966, and a 1967 Dunhill. For $50.
What?
I swear to God.
And those things are like $1,000 pipes.
No, right? Like $5,000. No, I swear to God. I've seen the pictures. Like, he had the picture on the rack, on the thing at the garage, like at the flea market, where it had like some crap junk hole pipe up front. And then it said on the back, it said Dunhill. And then 1966 shellback. And dude, everyone was like, dude, I am so jealous. Wow. I'm like, I am so jealous. And he's just his third one. And I'm like, maybe there's something to this. You know what I mean? There might be something to this. Now, and this whole long, stupid story has been to say, I'm probably out on estate pipes unless it's like that kind of scenario.
Well, you
and then I'll just figure it out.
You could, I know there's sites that you can send your pipe in and they'll refurbish it for you. Yeah, I think that if I'm buying an estate pipe, then for a lot of money, if I'm buying an estate pipe that's not just like a $20 pipe, I think I would want it to be refurbished before I even paid for it. But if you're going to a garage sale or something, you're not getting that.
No.
Like, I was just looking here on Pipes and Cigars, and they've got a pretty sweet Savinelli autographed Blowfish.
Those are expensive.
They have it for $150.
I thought those were more expensive.
Well, it's 150 as a it's an estate pipe.
Oh, okay.
And but then there's a little note down here. It says the previous owner smoked an aromatic tobacco, and there is a faint hint left after restoration. So they actually restore theirs before you buy from them,
which is cool.
So I bet a lot of places do that. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting that you were talking about ghosting, and they have a little note there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's classy.
I like aromatics.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, I think that's a classy note. Like, if you can tell and you're educated enough to know what's going on, or you're selling it, like, if you smoked aromatics out of it, I mean, it's kind of like, hey, man, you can have sex with this chick. You know, I totally did her. And, dude, I'm, like, totally got the HIV right now, and I didn't wear a rubber. So I'm just saying. Like, I mean, give your bro a heads up, you know? You're about to go into uncharted territory with an aromatic.
That is very descriptive.
I know it is, but it's a very extreme example. But, I mean,
it is.
There's a lot of parallels, though. Like, for me, that would be pretty messed up if, like, I bought, you know, let's just say that guy had a Dunhill, right? And he restored it. Let's just say he sold it for $2,000. And Logan felt frisky and spent $2,000 on this pipe just to find out that it was an aromatic smoked out of it.
Now, why on earth would you spend $2,000 on a pipe?
Because I can. No, actually, I would never do that. I mean, like, listen, why, Rob? Let me just tell you. Let's play a little game just real quick, and then I'll explain your point. Is just like, you know, what are they? What was Bob Barker? We're doing the showcase showdown, and I want you to guess how many, let me find it here, how many pounds of pipe tobacco I currently own in my possession at this point in time.
How many pounds?
How many pounds of pipe tobacco? And 16. This includes
16.
Okay, let's pretend there's Dana is in this game and she's your other showcase showdown.
16.1.
You're a jerk. You're totally a jerk.
No, so I really have no idea. I guess.
27 pounds, 10.5 ounces. So why do I have that much pipe tobacco?
It's a good question.
Really, it is a great question because, unfortunately, I have a little bit of disposable income, and pipe tobacco got me because I'm very interested by it. And a lot of the stuff you buy, you can't get in bulk. So you end up buying like a $10 tin, or I spent probably 10 of those pounds buying aromatic stuff when I first kind of like started, maybe 5 pounds of aromatics because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to like these. And I literally have a separate box. It's kind of like I have my really good cigars on like 3 shelves, and I got kind of my turd burglars at the bottom, and then I got my middle smokes in the middle, and I got my special DE drawer. Everyone does this, but I literally got like a freaking large size UPS flat rate box full of just mason jars of just aromatic nonsense that I probably will never look at, and Callaway will probably look at when I die. And to answer the question, why do I have 27.5 pounds? Is because, unlike cigars, which I find very interesting, is that pipes and pipe tobacco, unless it's an aromatic, appreciate.
Okay.
Like 20 years from now, if they, you know, there's a Four Kicks, and Four Kicks is still being made, is anyone going to pay? Isn't this worthless? No one's going to care. But if you've got 20-year-old sealed tin of Dunhill Nightcap, I mean, you might have paid $10 for it.
Not all tins are dated, though.
Well, most of them are. I mean, actually, I've learned a lot of interesting things. The actual smoking pipes, I used to buy everything off Pipes and Cigars, but they're very much like Cigars International. Mm-hmm. I really am digging smoking pipes.
They have a much – well, their website is really cool. They have a
really
website's
way better.
They've got a good selection. Smoking pipes. I'm just going to pull it up right now while you're talking. Keep talking.
But they have – yeah, but what I like about them is they have a really, really good blog, and it's
They email me all the time.
They do email a tad much, but they do have a very good content marketing strategy, and they give out a lot of good knowledge, right? It's not just sales email after sales email. They do a really good job with that. But, dude, like, they've given out how to date, like, Orlick tins, you know, like, Golden Slice and all that kind of stuff, and Dunhill. So they give you the formula on how to do it. So some tins you do, but otherwise what I do is I just keep all my receipts in a box and then just date the tin, just write the date. So like in 20 years, those Dunhills that I bought, dude, that's going to be worth at least $100. So why did I buy it? It's because one, I'm interested, but two, it's pipe tobacco actually appreciates. Like, I don't know. If done right, it's an investment versus just blowing the money.
Okay.
And this one really tastes like crap.
What are you smoking?
And I think it's because I have a little balsa filter in the Savinelli's because they have a little filter. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of got down in the bowl a little bit and it starts.
And you're smoking it?
I think so.
That's not what you want to do.
No, that's not really what you want to go for there, Logan.
Bad times.
But anyways, I'm smoking actually, now that you say this, because it is a pipe show. Can you believe we've talked for 20 minutes? We haven't even talked about what we're smoking yet.
That's how good I am.
That's no, because you were like, we're not going to have enough content. I'm like, Rob, it's me and you.
Man. I'm telling you, that's how good I am.
How we are.
I open the floodgates and just let Logan run.
Mm-hmm.
Just a reminder, our audience, you're listening to Pipe Dummies, brought to you by Cigar Federation, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Spend some time with us while we vamp about pipe tobacco. Just a reminder, what the hell is the thing that we're doing?
Techo dog.
Our Techo fundraiser is up and running on CigarFederation.com. There's a video of Matt in a pink shirt that's a little too small.
It's definitely a schmedium.
Yeah, there's some nip action right there. And there's a video of Matt and Jonathan Drew talking about the Techo fundraiser. There's a link there where you can click and see what the prizes are. We got a ton of freaking prizes. And, you know, we're accepting donations for the next 2 weeks. When's the last day that people can donate, Logan?
It would be Friday, August 28th.
Okay, so you got some time. Friday, August 28th is the last day to donate. But I think there's a reason to donate early. If people tie or something, whoever donated first wins.
So like if it comes down, because we have, I mean, great question, Rob.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You are just, I mean, God, you're just amazing.
It's stunning.
I mean, it's just, without you, Rob,
the world would
cease to turn. exactly. So the highest amount donated, we have a highest amount donated, probably second, third, and fourth. And basically, for some reason, if anyone, shockingly enough, I never thought would happen, and I'm glad, because I got to give Matt props. His attention to detail on this kind of stuff is amazing. He would actually made a phenomenal lawyer if he'd have went that path, but he did not. But very good attention to detail. So the reason to donate quickly is that the first person who donates and you tie, which actually happened last year between Shooter and the other dude, remember? So, yeah. And then whoever wins, who actually donated first gets it. Anyways, but yeah, we've got, let me see here. We've got, right now we've got 27 price packs ranging from $600 down to $30, all cigar and pipe related. And we'll actually be adding probably six more tonight and adding, I don't know, probably six more tomorrow. I mean, like, so $50, $100, $5, whatever you can spare. We're going to be using the money to go down and build houses for the indigenous. No, I'm not kidding. The indigenous people, the disadvantaged in Nicaragua and Esteli.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And our Cigar Federation Cigar Safari trip next year, if I'm speaking out of turn, Logan, tell me. It's going to go down there and actually hammer some nails and really get in and actually build. I think we're going to build one of the houses completely, right?
We're actually going to build all five of them.
Holy monkey spunk.
Now, listen, I've already told them. I was like, listen, I'm not much of a worker. I'm more of a foreman style. So they already know. But the cool thing is I don't think I've told a lot of people this. And so it's kind of interesting that I'm announcing it on a pipe show because probably no one watching about pipes really cares about Nicaragua because they don't grow any cigar tobacco in Nicaragua.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Cigar tobacco, you said.
Oh, cigar. I mean, sorry, pipe tobacco. Or not. If they do, it's like cigar leaf, but I'm not aware of any. But it's going to be really cool. I mean, so we're actually going down, and normal cigar safari trips are normally 3 days. So either they're, Sunday to Wednesday or Wednesday to Saturday, just depending on how it falls. So we're actually going down Sunday through Saturday.
That's a long trip.
Dude, I know. It's like a whole week. And I'm just like, oh, my God, 12 hours of uninterrupted sleep away from the family. It's going to be awesome. you know what's really bad is one day Callaway is going to watch these videos and be like, Dad, did you really love me? All you talk about is getting away from me. But
she's never going to watch these.
We'll talk about this subject here in a minute. But you're feeding the bull right now, Rob. You're feeding me. But anyways, so we're going to go down there and build houses. And the cool thing is that while we're down there, the reason we're down there for so long, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, they're actually fumigating all of D's factories. So we're not only going to be building it with us, but we're actually going to be building it with all the DE employees as well.
Oh, cool.
That's why we're going to knock out 5 houses.
Oh, that's cool.
If it was left up to our gringo butts, like, I mean, other than maybe Trip and Jared.
Yeah, I want to be on Jared's
crew. Anything would be getting done.
I want to be on Jared's crew.
I'm Jared's foreman. That's what's happening.
That's all I know.
But anyways, so hey, it's really Jared, cool. I'm excited.
We'll make sure everybody gets everything done.
I'm like, hey, Jared, that house is level. It doesn't look like it's going to withstand an earthquake. Get on it. And then Jared would hop down to wherever, you know, Homa did a leapo and, you know, fix it up, dude.
And you would just sit there with some sweet tea. So anyway, that was the longest commercial break we've ever had.
You're welcome. Brought to you by Logan's awesome ADD.
So we were talking about what we're smoking. I'm smoking – I still enjoy aromatics, but I'm starting to realize that most of them kind of taste the same.
Yeah.
There's an aromatic, and like there's tiny little differences here and there, and some are really good and some are not. But
I don't always drink like a girl, but when I do, it's Boone's Farm.
But there's some fruity beers out there that aren't bad.
Dude, I will admit that I like lambics, like, you know, a good lambic Belgian beer, you know, spontaneous fermented, Lindemann specifically.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah. I'm smoking the Suge Summer Blend out of my...
And which one is that?
Suge.
I mean, I know it's the aromatic one, but like, what's the flavoring on it? I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Let me go ahead and pull that information.
Did I ever tell you what mine was? It's the... No, I'm smoking... That. I'll tell you why you look yours up. I'm smoking the GLP's Laurel Heights. And just to give you a little background on it, made by GLP's, distributed by Cornell and Deal. It's Virginia-based. And the reason I chose it was for two reasons. One, it's because it was easy access to my fat butt to be able to reach it. Two is, like, everyone knows how much I loved F&K Lancer slices, like the Latakia or Latica and Virginia mix. And this is the same. It's just mostly Virginia with a splash of Latica. And also recently, I'll talk about this, but this is also from 2012. From 10/24/2012, and I've gotten a lot of aged, really good aged pipe tobacco recently, but I'll talk about how I did all that after Rob tells me about his Boone's Farm.
It's let's see. So we've got the Suge Summer Blend. It's blended by Drew Estate. It's manufactured by Drew Estate. It is an aromatic.
Are you sure it's not made by Scandinavian Tobacco?
I don't know. I'm just looking with what Tobacco Reviews tells me.
I'm not sure if that's right. But anyways.
Anywho. It's burley in Virginia. It has a vanilla flavoring in it. Okay. It's pretty good. It's mild. I mean, this is really, really mild. It's kind of nutty. There's some vanilla notes in there. Almost like a honey kind of flavor to it. Maybe more honey than vanilla, to be honest. but I don't know. For me, I think the reason that I still like aromatics is because when I smoke a pipe, I don't want to smoke a cigar. So I don't want to smoke something that's along those same lines. I want to smoke something that's totally different. That's just how I think about it. I mean, there are some other blends that I've tried that I like the Dunhill stuff, the Dunhill Early Morning.
It's good stuff.
And the Nightcap. I really like both of those.
You didn't think the Nightcap was too strong? I'm surprised it didn't blow you out of the water. It's very smoky.
I don't think it was. It was smoky. Yeah, it was smoky big time. It tasted like a little campfire, if memory serves. But
it does.
It wasn't too strong for me.
Okay.
I haven't smoked – I mean, I don't know if I've ever smoked anything that was really too strong where I just felt gross. If I did, I just stopped smoking it right away and I forgot what it was. But the early morning pipe is really good.
It's good.
But
I mean, it's very good. It's like a Connecticut in the morning.
But for some reason, when I think of smoking a pipe, I think about something sweeter.
Is that because you don't smoke that? I mean, nothing wrong with acids or infused cigars at all. But is it because you don't do that in cigars and it's a way for you to get that kind and you like it in tobacco more in cigars? I'm just curious.
Maybe. I found myself smoking more infused stuff, and more being a relative term. I've smoked I smoked the tabak.
You did smoke a tabak the other day, and you had to post about it. I know.
I smoked it. Well, that was, you asked me to make sure the app was still working, and that was the
picture. I did, and I appreciate that.
And the app was still working. It's just your jank-ass phone.
Hey, listen. You want to talk about jank? I mean, yes, this might be a Galaxy 3, but it's no compared to the BlackBerry 8600.
It's true. Baby steps in the right direction. And then I smoked the macchiato the other day. Macchiato is actually really good. Or no, not the macchiato, the espresso.
I hate about those. Those are actually really good.
They are pretty good, man. Is it the kind of thing that I'm going to go out and buy a bunch of? No, but I could honestly see myself having a little tabletop 50-count humidor that just has a few different infused things in it just to smoke in the morning or whenever I feel like it, because occasionally I want something sweet. And maybe you're right. You know, maybe that is why I gravitate towards that stuff with pipes. I think the reason is when I started smoking a pipe, I've gone through like four or five iterations of smoking a pipe. And every time it's because I love the way it smells and I just want something that's got a flavor like that. And I'm really trying to find that one aromatic that really has the flavor. And there's
don't
one
you like the Cornell and Dealey Autumn Evening.
Yeah, the Autumn Evening. That's probably the closest. And this is the time of year when I want to start smoking a pipe again when fall comes around. I don't know why. It's a very romantic thing for me.
It is.
But I think you might be onto something, but that's why I do like the aromatics. As we're going to get a little bit more, now that this time of year has come around, we're going to be a bit more tight with the show and really be here every 2 weeks. And
step it up to once a week and then alternate between you and Jared.
Yeah. If you want to do that, that's great.
Well, I mean, I don't care. I mean, I kind of just dropped that on you in the middle just to see how it kind of landed and people reacted. But
I think we haven't talked to John either. And this is like a sig fed meeting as opposed to a pipe.
I mean, it really is. It's more of like what me and Rob talk about, like off the scenes that we actually talk about on shows.
We have some audience questions we'll get into in a second.
Okay. Well, but, I'm sure.
I think we need to do sharing our pairings weekly too.
I really think so. I know John's available.
Yeah, as time comes around, I will be. But as it starts raining and getting cold up there in Canada, John's not going to be there.
I mean, that's like...
Let's move on. Let's actually talk about pipes.
Like T-minus like a month. Yeah. It might snow in a month up there.
Yeah, who knows? So let's...
All right, well, I have some questions.
Let me see. Okay, so we got one here from Jeff Madre.
Who's this?
He says he wants to know, was there any particular pipe tobacco blend that you saw at IPCPR that you were anxious to try? Now... Jeff, I'll answer.
Talking about pipe tobacco?
What's that?
Is he talking about pipe tobacco?
Yeah, that's what I said. This is a pipe show, remember?
Oh.
He said, well, then there's a lot of pipe stuff at IPCPR. When you interviewed, who was the lady you interviewed?
Dude, sweet little grandma.
She was a sweetheart.
I terrified her.
Like, they had some cool stuff that you're talking about.
McClellan.
From McClellan, yeah. And
do you remember what it was?
I don't, but let's get to that in a second.
I'll tell you if you want to know.
Well, you will in a second. As far as pipe stuff, I mean, that was really kind of last minute for us at IPCPR, I'm being totally honest. I mean, there were about 25 booths, cigar booths that we planned on getting to that we didn't have time to get to.
Pipe booths.
Cigar booths.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, and that was our main function to be there. Cigar Federation, focus number one was cigars.
It's the name.
We wanted to hit pipes on the last day. We figured that was when we would do it. And what we did with that was just kind of go around, get some contacts so we can bring some guests on the show and talk about more things. So as far as, you know, specific things that we wanted to try, we saw some really sweet pipes and I could have dropped some serious money on some pipes there. Logan talked me out of it, so I didn't do it, but,
I did.
I actually traded you a pipe while we were there. One of the pipes that I won.
Dude. That was totally like Indian giving, even though that's slightly racist. Dude, it was like the best trade ever. It was like, hey, Logan, I really love you. Let me give you this warped, you know, Skyflower. Because I've been wanting to smoke that cigar because I keep hearing, because Viaje Leaded may have been the best cigar ever made on the face of the earth.
Let's backtrack, though. The reason I gave you that, let's answer Jeff's question, then we can talk about this
story. Okay, well, I'll answer it. I can tell you what the pipe tobacco was. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. I can't remember the name, but it's out now.
I can tell you what it is.
It's like 50-50 or something. It's basic, and she didn't even tell us about it on camera. She told about it afterwards when she felt more comfortable.
Oh, that's right.
So it's a tin they just came out with, and I saw it actually advertised on Pipes and Cigars or Smoking Pipes. But it's basically a tin where you get half of it is red Virginias pressed into a flake, and then the other half is yellow Virginias pressed in a flake, and it's both present in a tin but in separate. So it's almost kind of like, you know, those popcorn tins you get for Christmas from people you really don't like.
And it's separated.
And I love it too, man. When I'm like, oh, dog, you think you got me a crappy gift? You didn't, because I'll eat all of it. But it's kind of like that. And it has one half. So when you're putting your smoke in your bowls, you can put, you know, I want this much red Virginia. I want this much yellow Virginia. And it kind of lets you experiment with the consistency and the flavors by kind of mixing your own bowl. And that was really cool.
And it was called what, 50-50, you said?
I can't remember. I'm going to Google it.
McClellan tinned red and black?
There it is.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking at it right here. So, yeah, it's red and black blend, but it's not a blend. In fact, it's the flakes are tinned together, marry with age, yet each provide their own distinct smoke. They are, as the name implies, da-da-da. Okay, so you can kind of mix it together and do what you want with it. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That is pretty cool. And actually, I just saw something in here that I need to track down. I know we got some samples from Cornell and Dial. Is it Dial or Deal?
There was a girl in my high school named Cassie Deal, and it's spelled the same way. But I've never heard anyone pronounce it, so I say Deal.
They have a bourbon blue. I feel like
they have a Chinitz cake, and they've got like, it's all like New Orleans themes.
Yeah, okay. I need to smoke those. Do we have those
in the store?
No. Did we get samples of this stuff?
We did not. But I am going to talk to Jonathan about sponsoring the show.
Oh yeah.
Not that anybody cares.
I'm sure he'll jump at the chance.
I know. Hey man. He probably will. He's probably watching right now.
No, I want to get some of this stuff. So
we can probably make that work.
We can.
It's a growing process with the pipes.
Well, I just made a mess. I laughed into my pipe and ash went everywhere. Okay, so we answered Jeff's question. So we Logan and I did a little trade at IPCPR. I had a pipe that I won on an Instagram giveaway from.
Briarworks, and they're racist.
Why are they racist?
Because they don't pick people with high followers on Instagram, or I would win.
Okay.
Anyways, I've entered three times and I've never won anything, so I'm just kind of bitter that you always win.
I entered their contest three times. I won on the third time, but I happened to win two pipes in 1 week. Anyway, it was and I hadn't smoked that pipe yet.
You have not.
And I brought it because I figured we were probably going to, you know, do some pipe smoking, and that's it in Logan's hand there. Yep. And Logan decided that he wanted it. Was just keep, like, what do I have to give you for that pipe? What do I have to give you, blah, blah, blah. And by the end of the show, Logan had procured a very sweet Zycar Crux cutter with a – what kind of rock?
Sikorskis,
Swarovski,
however you say it. Swarovski. It's the fancy crystals.
Yeah, there's a little crystal.
I just said crystal.
And like an idiot. So this, and then I gave you that sky flower because no one else was going to.
Well, no one else was going to, and you said, I know how much, and this is like, just to let everyone know, I give Rob a lot of crap, and there was a point during IPCPR the first day where Rob about punched me in the face.
If you weren't so much bigger than I am, I probably would have.
I mean, I was poking the bowl hard. Jared, who says nothing, was feeling pretty awkward about this. And Rob, being the nice guy he is, always taking care of me, said, hey, you know, I know you really want to smoke this. Here you go. And I said, thank you, Rob. And then I used that and traded him back that and the lighter, or him and the cutter to get the pipe. And I'd actually promised the cutter to Jared. It cut Jared out of the – dude, it was bad.
Yeah, it worked out well for me because
– it worked out great for me too.
I've been looking for a good – I've been wanting a good cutter. And this – and I've got a couple of Zycars, and I'm actually probably going to – if anybody wants a Zycar, this is a – this is an XI3, I think.
It might be the 2.
The digital camo? No, it's not the 2.
It's either the 1 or the 3.
The 2 is the cheaper one. This one's the heavy-duty one.
No, the 1 is the crappy one. The 2s are like – most of them are the 2s. The 3s are like the ones that are like, you know, the tiger coral and like the freaking mammoth tusk and that crap.
Okay, whatever. I had the numbers backwards. I thought the twos were the cheapies.
No, nope.
I have one of those as well. Anyway, I was happy to get the cutter and the Skyflower back, and the Way Wednesday was part of the deal too, which was good because
that's true.
If I didn't have it, nobody would have reviewed it because we didn't get a chance to talk to.
I would have. I mean, I got one, so I would have reviewed it eventually.
Seth did review it actually for Habano's critic, oddly enough.
Yep. Well, I had it and I helped, but yeah. So I mean, it was a good trade. But next year we are gonna make a concerted effort to spend more time with pipes. I want to say one good thing about pipes that I've noticed at the show is like there's a lot of brands. Actually, well, compared to cigars, there's not that many brands. But the good thing is like, for example, you go into the Loudacy booth and you get to hit up Cornell and Dial. You hit GLP, Two Friends, Savinelli. So you knock out like six or seven brands. Like you go into the Aragno, or I don't even know how you pronounce it, but Arango Cigars or Aragno booth, and you get Rattray, you get freaking Esoterica, you know, Germain. So you knock out all these brands. So it's kind of nice. So if you know where you're going, problem is, I don't know really who just does distribution for people. Like Ashton does it for Peterson. Like learning the lay of the land, I think, has been much tougher than in cigars.
Yeah, that's true.
I think so.
We've got a bunch of questions here. So let's ask them. Here's one from Chris Bradley.
Is that the dude that used to come to Cigar Chat that had the canine dogs?
Yeah. Yeah,
dude, what's up, man?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a while. He wrote some reviews and stuff when I was doing Triple R back in the day.
What?
Yeah, he was the one who found the picture that he thought was.
Dude, can you please tell this story?
I mean, we can. It's a little bit
so funny though.
It is funny. Let's talk about his question first. And then we'll jump. He says, not really a question. It's more of a shout out. I really capitalized really like Ule Tobacco in Milwaukee. I think it's Ule, Uhle.
I got some.
Ule Tobacco, Milwaukee. Any other undiscovered blenders you recommend? That's more for you, Logan.
Undiscovered blenders?
Well, I don't know, like local stuff, I guess.
I mean, honestly, like, and this is just from my personal opinion, and there is no way anyone should take this opinion to the bank because it has not been validated. But when it comes, I'm going to parallel to cigars. You can find people who are blending cigars and have a cigar brand that are under the radar that have a good cigar. I have not found, when I went to a couple different pipe shops that have kind of, you know, their own little house blends, typically what that entails is them like getting a bag of like Lane 1Q and putting it with like Lane RLP6 or whatever and just shaking it up a little. Like they're not like the Dunhill store was in London, where you got like the smorgasbord, where you got to play around, and which I don't even know if that shop's still open, but that is one thing I would love to do. But I don't think it's quite like that. So my experience with, you know, house blends and stuff, and I know there's like Just For Him does it is very good.
Just For Him.
And then, you know, which is, I mean, I don't like really much of their stuff. Four Noggins does it a little bit. B&B Tobacco does it a little bit, but I will give a shout out to someone who is kind of an under the blender that you've never heard of, and you're never going to get any of his stuff either. So sorry about your luck, but is Isaac Miller, AKA the Nothing.
Dude, on SigFed.
From SigFed. And he's making his own Perique and stuff, and he works at a tobacco shop, but he literally sent me like all these blends. And first of all, the names are awesome. It's like He-Man, Woman Haters, and like all these really great names. But, dude, I smoked, like, this one. It's called Dire Straits. It's, like, all these straight tobaccos. And he's, like, they're actually shouldn't be together, but I put them together and, like, all this. Dude, I smoked it. It was freaking delicious. And I go, how much more of that do you have? He goes, none. Like, I even told him, I was, like, dude, if you want to bring your blends on SigFed, we'll sell them. Because, like, he is actually really good and knows what he's doing. But you don't find many people like him anymore.
Yeah. I say, yeah, like, I have any idea. The only things that I've smoked there, God, there was one company when I was first, or like the fourth or fifth time I tried to start smoking a pipe, and they did a Halloween blend. It was really good. And I can't remember what the hell the name of their company was. It was some guy I found on Twitter. I'll have to look. But from, Just For Him, the Hobbit stuff is cool.
Yeah.
It's not great. The mushrooms one, the
shortcut to mushrooms.
Is supposed to be the best. But I haven't tried that one yet.
Sounds like drugs.
I've enjoyed the ones that I've smoked.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see.
Shout out Chris Bradley.
Yeah. Harley Holmes wants to know, how is your pipe aging, or your pipe tobacco aging experiment going?
I'm glad you asked, Harley Holmes. That's an interesting thing, because the Nothing, aka the guy that I just gave a lot of credit to, who's probably gonna, I just kind of discredited my whole opinion because I've talked about how awesome this guy is. On our very first episode, we had an argument about aging pipe tobacco. And my argument is, and it's found very much in science, is that you need oxygen, at least a little bit, to facilitate the aging process.
I would think like so.
The organic and inorganic processes. When you actually open a tin, or a sealed tin or a pop tin of any pipe tobacco, you open it, first thing you hear is air rushing in, right? It's vacuum sealed, which means the air is pulled out, so it won't spoil. So okay. The big debate Manuffing and I have is that pipe tobacco will age better. Like if you have something in a tin, now bulk doesn't really matter, but if you have something in a tin, like doesn't matter, let's say Dunhill nightcap, and you have the same age tin, it will actually age better in the tin than it would if you pulled it out and put it in a mason jar.
Okay.
So my hypothesis, and I've kind of actually changed my hypothesis a tad, this is like leave it in a tin no matter what, and it'll age better. My hypothesis originally was take it out, put it in a mason jar, because with a mason jar, you can get the oxygen, you can still it where it's airtight. And I've seen a lot of pipe tobacco, especially from this aged stuff that I bought off this estate, off the dead guy. A lot of it does have a lot of plume in it, and it was all stored in jars. Now, granted, I haven't opened any of the tins yet, but my hypothesis changed a little bit, is if you have a tin that was just manufactured, say like 2 or 3 months ago, you pop it, you put it into a mason jar, you're okay. But if you've got something that's already probably 2 or 3 years down the line, I think popping it and introducing that much oxygen kind of halts the process and probably slows it down, maybe stunts it a little bit, or slows down the aging process. So I think if you get to a point where you've got something in a tin 2 or 3 years, just leave it in there. But if you get it where it's fairly fresh, throw it in a jar. But I've got some Auric Golden Slice and some McClellan 5100 Red Cake that actually started back in February, I think, or maybe even January. I got to look. Yeah. But I've got some in the original tin. I've got some in mason jars. And then I've got some in bags that have all been controlled in a a temperature-controlled environment inside a wine fridge that I bought just for this experiment. I'm an idiot. And we're going to probably pop the tops on these probably at a year and send out samples to some of the faithful, and you tell me
what's better,
which one's better. And then we're going to let science do the rest.
So I've got a follow-up question though. If you're talking about, you're saying that if they stay in the tin, they're not going to age as much, right? Is that kind of
as fast?
As fast. Okay. So, okay. Okay. Then it kind of just disqualifies my question.
I mean, they'll definitely age.
Yeah, I misunderstood what you were saying. Because I was going to say, well, if they're not going to age when they're in the tin, then why does it matter if the tin is 20 years old?
No, so they'll age a little bit. I mean, but there's not as nearly as much oxygen that's in a mason jar that's got an inch left at the top than there is a tin that's been more or less vacuum sealed tight.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So. All right, this one's from Sean P.
Dude, we got all types of new people.
This is Sean P. from Nice Tight Ash, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, any particular favorite brands of pipe tobacco that you usually go to? I know, Logan, you've got a bunch.
Oh, God.
Keep the list concise.
Well, like, I don't want to be a snob because I've already went to the snob category.
With your Stonehaven and all that?
Not really. You know what? I really don't like Stonehaven. Stonehaven, people, Esoterica, and there's some others, right? But Esoterica and this, and of course, while I'm busting out like 3 or 4 tins of the crap.
What is that?
Original Balkan, Sobrani.
Is that a big deal?
Well, in the 70s, I mean, I've tried to buy some aged stuff in a tin from 1970, and when it got up to $500 or $600, I kind of like did a double take, and I was like, yeah, I can't do that. But it was apparently the bee's knees of tobacco. Now, granted, it went through some changes or whatever, but it's still very good. People have smoked the original, say it's not close. And when it's kind of like when people are trying to, you know, you re-blend a cigar to be like, you know, the Monte Cristo number one, right? Yeah. It's people try it, and there's competition all the time to say which one can be closest to the, you know, the original Balkan Sobrani or whatever. But the new stuff's very good. I mean, the newer blend, I mean, it's the same thing, but I don't have anything to compare it to. But I mean, blends and companies that I've gravitated to, I mean, I like GLPs because it's not super expensive. He doesn't do any aromatic stuff, and it's just quality pipe tobacco. Even though I'm not really digging this Laurel Heights that much, it's still quality. I can still appreciate it, but it's not really in my wheelhouse. It's a little weak in the knees for me. But I think that, and I think definitely Esoterica. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Stonehaven. I know a lot of people go nuts, but dude, I don't even know how to pronounce this because I always butcher it. But Penzance is what I say.
Penzance
or whatever. Dude, this stuff is like...
That's the business?
I mean, dude, it's the business.
But that's really hard to get, right?
It is very... And like, it's so strange. It's very hard to get. It releases like once or twice a year. And now, since the trade show happened, people are starting to get it. So I've been watching like a hawk, and I was able to pick up a tin like a couple of days ago. And it's funny because like Pipes and Cigars gets like probably a big allotment because they buy a lot, but they sell it for more. I got this for like $11.50 off of Mars Cigars, which I've never even heard of. But then, you know, freaking Pipes and Cigars sells it for 20. But like literally it's like when they put it online, you get like an hour to buy and it's sold out, right? So it's like the Monsters type stuff. It just goes so freaking quick. But yeah, Jessica Terica, GLPs. And then honestly, I like a lot of the Seattle Pipe Club stuff, like the Plum Pudding and, you know, the Potlatch and the Seattle Evening I really enjoy. And then probably the best one that's really cheap and under the radar that's like a bulk tobacco is F&K Lancer Slices. That ish will change your life.
F&K Lancer.
Yeah, the brand's like F&K. It's like Fillmore and something another. Charles Fillmore K something, I don't know. And it's cool. Lancer Slices. It's modeled after apparently a really famous tobacco called Bengal Slices, which I never smoke because they don't make it anymore. But dude, it's just Latika in Virginia, and dude, it's just, it's like almost like smoking like a piece of sweet and sour chicken.
Really?
Because it's got sweet, sour, and it's got that smoky flavor. Oh dude, it's just so good.
It does sound good.
It is so good.
Did you send me any of that?
I don't know, Weasel. Did I? Oh, I guess. Maybe.
It's funny, man. I was going through the pipe stuff before we came on the show because I didn't know what I was going to smoke. And I'm looking through all this stuff, and I've got so many little baggies full of stuff that you sent me. I'm like, I don't know what the hell half of this stuff is. I should actually go through and make a list so we can plan what we're actually going to do with some of these shows.
Well, it's funny because I actually bagged it up, and I said, English show. And I've got like three pipes back of it. And it's just, we haven't really gotten that advanced in our shows yet. We've just been ripping balls.
Just ripping balls. Okay, a couple from Swede. Swede says, the autumn evening, he really enjoyed it. We sent some of that to him.
We did.
He won some
Thanks
of that.
To Jonathan.
At Loudest.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So, yeah, I like autumn evening, you know, and I probably should have smoked that tonight. The Suhei was fine. But it wasn't exactly
on a rating system. Where would you give it?
What is our rating system? Is it 1 to 5?
Oh dear God! How do you know?
I haven't reviewed a pipe of tobacco in a long time. I'm out of practice, man.
Dude, it's like riding a bike, right? Man.
It's one to five.
Five being, I'm just pulling it up right now. Five being stock up, multiple ounces. Mm-hmm. Four keeping the rotation. Enough just to smoke it every once in a while. Three stars, when you wouldn't pay full retail, but if it's on sale, you purchase some. Two is when it's only free, so you'd only smoke a bowl if someone gave it to you for free. And one is never again, you wouldn't even smoke it even if it was given to me.
I'd probably give it somewhere in a 3.
Whoa. You know? When it's on sale? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say probably the GLPs would probably fall.
Three and a half. That's for the Suge. For the Autumn Evening, I'd probably give it a 4.
The GLPs, Laurel Heights, I'd probably give it a 3.5. Nothing crazy.
So Swede's got one more question, and then we'll be done. It says, do either of you, quote-unquote, clean your pipe bowl or scrape the inside? Yes. The only time that I've scraped out a pipe is if I'm trying to refurbish it. That's the only time I've ever done that.
So here's what I do, Swede. And here is a Suge that I was ripping bowls out of today. And I will show you what I do. So, you know, I let it cool down for about a day, you know. And what I like to do, and I actually learned this from Jonathan Turner, actually, is I'll do is I'll take a pipe cleaner, fold it in half.
Just like this?
Yeah, just like that. And I'll just rub it on the inside of the bowl, you know, after a day or so after I've smoked it. And you won't be able to see this, but you'll get out a lot of extra ash and chalk, and you know you're not going to be able to see in there.
Yeah.
But it does a really good job of getting any like scrapings left. It gets a lot of that fine stuff that's not really a cake, that's still kind of loose that you're going to end up smoking. And it does a really good job of doing it. And then what I've learned is I'll actually at that point, when I'm first done smoking, even if the pipe's hot, I'll jam a pipe cleaner down in it and it hold it, kind of put the pipe up like this. And it does that pipe cleaner does a really good job of pulling out kind of some of the spit and, you know, the nasty instead of it just setting in your pipe and festering. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, when you're cleaning out the bowl though, you're not scraping it.
No. I mean,
you're just kind of,
I mean, it's more of like a,
you're giving it a good once over.
Yeah. Like, I don't scrape it. I've had to scrape my Suge once cause I've smoked out of it a lot where the cake was like, literally like, I mean, it was like, I would rip like two bowls out of it back to back and it wouldn't even get hot. Like, yeah. I mean, that's how much cake was on it. So I scraped it down a little bit. But other than that, I haven't had to. I mean, you've got to smoke it pretty hard.
Yeah. To get something like that. Yeah. So for the most part, you definitely want to clean your pipe every time you smoke out of it. And everybody's got their own way of doing it. But yeah, you don't want to scrape out the bowl. I mean, you want to build that cake. There's a reason to build that. and we could talk about what that reason is next time. That's going to be it. We're up against it. That's the end of our time. Yeah, we're at time.
We done?
Yeah.
I'm actually having a really good time, Robert.
It's been a gas.
It's been a gas.
So we'll be back, what, in 2 weeks, right?
Let me just confirm.
In 2 weeks, we'll do we'll actually have a planned show. We'll talk about some different tobaccos. And
no, we're supposed to find an aromatic Logan enjoys.
Well, there's a bunch that I sent you. So
I know, and I've got them all in jars. I just got to start ripping bowls.
Okay,
and honestly, I haven't really been looking forward to it.
Well, let's do that. Let's do that show.
We'll come up with something.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. I know we have the English blends that we wanted to do, and I know we did the Dunhill stuff too, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got some stuff coming up. So we'll post that up on the site. Thanks for checking out the show. You can find us on CigarFederation.com. Thanks, everybody, on the Armed Forces Radio Network for tuning in. And we'll be back in a couple weeks. Everybody have a great week and stay safe.
Dummies.